All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Something strange is happening to rappers' legacies. XXXTentacion, Juice WRLD, Lil Peep, and Pop Smoke. All of these artists have one thing in common. Some have been handled with the utmost respect, and others not so much. So what caused this? Why did it happen? And what is the current state of these artists' legacies? And this is what happened to these rappers' legacies. The first rapper on this list is XXXTentacion. For most of his life, he was one of the most controversial rappers in the game, and at one point, he even had his music pulled from Spotify. However, when he passed, X was one of the most loved artists in the game. But would it stay that way? Well, the clearest case of what was done to X's legacy was his albums. When X passed, his allure was at an all-time high. And this was largely due to his amazing projects. For example, his album ?? Spent over 200 weeks on the Billboard 200 chart. However, when his estate dropped Skins, his first posthumous album, it was the exact opposite of what X had stood for. Skins was mostly minute to minute and a half songs that sounded very unfinished, and most fans agreed the album was not great. It ended up selling 130,000 units first week and fell off the Billboard charts completely. Afterwards, X's estate's greed would be solidified when they dropped a song with Lil Peep that his family and friends did not approve of. In fact, Lil Peep's best friend said that the two didn't even like each other. But Falling Down, the song they dropped, still hit the Billboard charts and was actually a great song, so it wasn't that bad. However, unfortunately, after seeing the success, X's estate would push even further to make more money off of him. Because in mid-2019, X's estate announced they would be dropping a final XXXTentacion album. And at first, fans somewhat had their hopes up, because X had announced that Bad Vibes Forever coming soon. It will be a mix of all genres you have seen me dabble with. If you are not a fan of me, this is not an album for you. It is for core fans only. This sounded great in theory, but when the album dropped, it was far from that. The material on the album was paper thin, it had horrendous features, and the beats were pretty terrible. In the end, Bad Vibes Forever went down as one of the worst posthumous albums ever dropped, with very forced and cheap features from artists such as Lil Nas X and many more, with a total of 25 tracks and 19 features. XXXTentacion practically wasn't even on it.
It's Forever, the new posthumous album from XXXTentacion, and yes, it's not very good. And it feels weird saying that because I feel like it not being good has very little to do with the artist the album is named after.
So it's safe to say Bad Vibes Forever was a massive cash grab.
Because Bad Vibes Forever is yet another example in the music industry of an artist's name and legacy being grossly exploited posthumously with an album that is theirs in name and in name only.
What's more head-scratching is the fact that X's estate was getting a lot of money. There was no need for this. After fans heard the album,
how many months?
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself. At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
They got like tens of millions. Juice got 30 million. X got 30 million. They're bringing in over like a billion streams a year.
The backlash was insane. In fact, it was so harsh that Lil Nas X's song was taken off and the album only ended up selling 65k first week, which was horrible for X's size at the time, and debuted at number 5 on Billboard. A couple weeks later, it had completely fallen off the charts. To put it in perspective, Question Mark debuted at number 1 and spent 5 weeks in the top 10. But it wouldn't end there, because in 2020, things got really bad when X's mother decided to turn things up a notch and started using her son's social media to promote another artist's song. On October 16th, 2020, fans were furious after X's mother went live on his Instagram account to promote another artist. X's 18.2 million followers at the time saw he was going live despite being gone for 2 years, and to their surprise, X's mom was promoting a song by one of X's tattoo artists, Ichabod Veins, featuring X for only about 30 seconds.
They tuned in, they discovered Bernard was promoting the video for the Bad Vibes Forever track, Chase Glass Shards, featuring Ichabod Veins, who she currently manages.
And it's safe to say the fans were anything but pleased.
As the live continued, which pulled in roughly 300,000 viewers, comments such as, "This is disgusting, however you want to look at it," immediately started flying on Twitter.
On Twitter, fans were accusing X's mom of tarnishing his legacy. XXXTentacion started a live video? Really? F that. What XXXTentacion's label have done with his name after his passing should be genuinely illegal. It was one of those notifications you shouldn't have been getting, but the details made the situation even worse. Before the music video was released, they dememorialized X's account, and furthermore, the song wasn't even finished. So, you'd think after all of that backlash, X's estate would learn. Well, not exactly. Because in 2022, XXXTentacion's Instagram page posted this. A picture of X and Juice morphed, signaling a collaboration.
Their latest Instagram post, X's that is, they posted a half and half of Juice WRLD and X, and they didn't even write a caption. What does this mean? Well, it seems as though a Juice WRLD and XXXTentacion collab is on the way.
And once again, to say fans were confused would be an understatement.
I don't know how many times we gotta say it. We don't know what X and Juice would want to be doing. Would they have wanted to collab?
The funniest part, despite both of their fan bases sharing a large number of fans, nobody asked for it.
The fans, every single one of us, were like, yo, chill.
Luckily, it never dropped because some fans leaked it. But it was clear X's estate did not care about his discography one bit. But an artist's legacy is so much more. It also includes their image. They cared about that, right? Well, it's complicated, because they made a number of questionable moves. For example, X's estate released a series of non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, to help preserve his legacy, when in reality they were just cashing out. So it was clear X's estate was making money, but what if I told you that money was allegedly being hoarded and allegedly
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Legally, by his mother, who pretty much every other family member has sued at this point. The most famous case of this is when X's baby mama demanded a DNA test in court. Why? Because she needed the court to allow scientific testing of biological samples of XXXTentacion and his son to establish him legally as the father. When it happened, it was a huge shock to fans. When X left, his mom was the one who said X left a surprise and was really accepting of X's son. Until then, everything seemed good. When one day, randomly, X's mom deleted all the pictures of the mother and the child. Later, she would try to get the court to deny X's baby mama's request, but she was the one that was denied. However, the details aren't that important. It was the thought that counted, because the fans, the reason behind this all, could only be one thing. A recurring theme in X's posthumous history, greed. Because if X's son's mother couldn't prove if X's kid was valid, X's mother wouldn't have to pay the baby mama the money deserved. In the end, the baby mama won, but it wasn't a great look. But you see, that wasn't the only family lawsuit. X's half-brother, Corey Pack, also sued X's mother for various reasons. According to his lawsuit, X's mother was hiding money through various shell companies. X's mom was also accused of transferring over $11 million in assets to herself that were designated to him. The suit also states that X's mother purchased a Mercedes-Benz SUV, a Lamborghini Huracan Coupe, a Can-Am Spider, and 7 cars for her friends, including a Range Rover and a Lamborghini SUV. It also states that she purchased and sold two properties, so clearly she was balling. And after finding out some of these details, fans were not pleased. If all of this is true, it's disgusting and dishonoring X's estate, making profit off of your son, SMH. So that brings us to today, where most fans of XXXTentacion want to forget most of his posthumous releases. And the milking of X has been so normalized that nothing even surprises fans anymore. However, I do want to say that despite all of this, X loved his mother, and it was well within her right to do what she did.
There was always there will be and always was a void in my heart. And it was just due to the fact that I didn't have my mom for a long amount of time. And my mom was out there trying to hustle, get her money up, you feel me? And she was doing everything she could. And I ain't even finna dub my mom. Like, I love my mom to death. That's the apple in my eye. I'll take a bullet from my mom any day. You take a bullet from my mom right now. No question. No questions asked.
That being said, she definitely didn't do his legacy any favors. However, at least X had the luxury of having his family exploit him. The next rapper wasn't so lucky. The second artist on this list is the late emo rap rock star Juice WRLD. While he was alive, or even afterwards, Juice WRLD was one of the largest artists in rap, who unfortunately passed away on December 8th, 2019, and it sent shockwaves through hip-hop. However, Juice WRLD was no regular rapper. He left behind thousands of songs, many of which had not been heard. So regardless of the sad news, most fans had something to look forward to, his music. And in
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
The beginning, things were going well. Juice WRLD's label dropped Legends Never Die. It sold a whopping 300,000 units. Everyone agreed it was a great album. But not too long after that, the greed of his label and management would start to take over. And all began when his next album was teased, with a trailer that was released in July of 2021, which now has over 50 million views. That trailer was for an album called The Party Never Ends. However, right after that, the album immediately got postponed. Why? Well, Juice's management decided they wanted to drop a documentary and an album along with that. This would have been great, but the album was filled with sad songs that most fans did not want. But hey, Juice WRLD didn't know what he wanted. Nope. Because in the documentary, they played two songs and then Juice says he wants them on his next album. None of them made the cut. Yikes. However, luckily for the fans, Lil Bibby, Juice's label owner, reassured them that the next album was going to drop soon, writing, "The party is about to start soon." To fans, this was great news, because they were finally about to get what they wanted, turnt Juice WRLD songs. However, once again, it looked like Bibby and Juice's team had spoken too soon, because by the time they started promoting The Party Never Ends, Juice WRLD's music began getting leaked like crazy. People in Discord were paying thousands for these Juice WRLD leaks, and Bibby and Juice's label were getting mad, very mad, because not only were they quote unquote losing music, they were losing a lot of money. At one point, it got so bad that fans would be in Lil Baby's comments every day begging for songs, then they wouldn't get it and decide to take it themselves. This made Juice's management furious, and Bibby would notify fans that The Party Never Ends might never release due to these leaks, writing, "These leaks are getting out of hand. I hope all the fans are happy. The Party Never Ends might be cancelled, but all this shit leaks." So Lil Bibby was essentially being mad about the leaks and then not dropping them, and therefore punishing a fan base that didn't really have to do with it, at least 99.999% of them. What's worse, this may be valid if it was a normal artist. However, Juice WRLD left behind thousands of songs, so to blame a delay on a couple leaks did not look good. And that's exactly what happened, because this type of behavior by Bibby and the team would backfire horribly. Bibby continued delaying the album, and after doing so multiple times with no end in sight, he had become a meme. On top of that, the leaks were only getting worse. At this point, the majority of the anticipated songs were leaked for the album, and Lil Bibby officially canceled the album for the year, writing, "No party this year, f*** the hackers." Lil Bibby would then make tweets to address the so-called leaks and fan backlash, writing, "If you don't know the whole story, shut up." But what was even worse was the fact that he would continue to say that Juice WRLD's album was dropping soon.
It's Juice WRLD's posthumous album dropping.
6 weeks?
That's amazing. Well, stay humble and stay blessing everybody, man.
All of this looked horrible, but Juice's estate's tricky relationship with hackers and fans wouldn't end there. Because in May of 2024, Juice WRLD's manager Pete went on Instagram and started saying some very concerning things about how Juice WRLD's...
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
music was leaking. That month, he took to Instagram and wrote, "Max Lord leaked Oxy and Muddy for money, SMH. Then a fan slid up in his DMs and wrote, "He's been selling songs for years. It's been known. Unfortunately, the first sign is when he started selling songs only he would have." Juice's manager put a bullseye emoji. Max Lord was one of Juice WRLD's main producers and engineers and a close friend in his latter life. So this came as a huge shock to most Juice WRLD fans, and it actually became huge news as DJ Academics was making posts about the news. However, that wasn't what made the situation bad, because Max Lord wasn't going to take this disrespect, and his response shared the sentiment of many Juice WRLD fans and exposed Juice's management, and he just kept it a buck. He started off by saying that those songs weren't even going to be on the album, writing, "Neither of those songs were singles. Muddy was never on the album." He then said that they didn't even have real proof that he was hacked, and they were ghosting him whenever he tried to get in touch with them. "By the way, your proof is a bot account I heard was paid to send that to you. Your phone number was leaked 2 days ago, and I received a spoofed phone call from your number for the 10th time. You haven't answered me back when I reached out." Then he exposed them for not knowing the proper titles of the songs, writing, "And why don't you even know what the music is you care about so much? That's not even me being illiterate. That's just how he wrote that down. Yeah, it isn't even your job." Then he exposed them for not spending their money and just stealing from Juice's bank accounts. "When Juice was alive, you ain't spend one penny of your own money. You milked Juice for everything you did off his business / touring accounts." Then he exposed them for not paying producers. "How about y'all pay your producers what they've been owed since 2018? Y'all run a scam, not a business." This made them look even worse, as Juice WRLD had made millions, and they had made many, many, many more millions off of him, which I'll go into later. So not paying producers what they deserve is a bad look. But that wasn't it. He then exposed them for taking the album from the original producers, including him, and giving it to the industry mega producer, Benny Blanco. "Keep printing merch instead of music, your real job. We finished the album almost 2 years ago before y'all scrapped it for Blanco to ruin it for whatever reason." Then he exposed them for not even paying Benny Blanco. "Heard y'all don't even pay him either." Then he exposed them for not even responding to him, but speaking on him online, which was weird. "I tried to hit you directly, but you want to go online and spew lies." And finally, which is what's really sad, is Max Lord explained he had sacrificed his health so the album could come out good, and it was all going to waste. "And I have to regret writing all this. I've spent countless hours, days, weeks, months working for the community and building this album together. He cares about y'all so much," talking about Juice. "I spent months in the hospital waiting to get back to finish this. I literally flatlined on the operating table. I made sure to get back so I could work on a project with 45 plus staples zipped, holding my torso together at the studio." This came as a huge shock to most people. It basically confirmed that the management was greedy and didn't really care for Juice WRLD's legacy.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself. At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
However, they had some words to say for themselves. They started by firing back, explaining that the album was going to come out.
"Nah, man, the album is ready to come out. We got a lot of good features. I hope they don't leak, you know, but we got good features."
And said that Benny Blanco, the producer the album was handed to, didn't ruin the album.
"Benny did not ruin the album. You can't ruin an album that's most of the songs already done."
And that they were trying to release the album with Juice WRLD's community.
"We're gonna roll out this album with the community. We're not gonna do it without y'all. When y'all ready to lock in, and everybody's ready to go as a team, we're gonna do it together."
In fact, if the fans, not them, were better, the album would have been out already.
"You know what's crazy? It was actually supposed to come out in January, low key, right after Juice WRLD Day."
Which is what they actually had promised.
"Y'all be complaining, begging for the music to stay, let's support it. Let's get this party never ends out at the top of the year. How about that?"
They then made a bunch of excuses, like they had business issues.
"Yeah, but it just was some business issues."
And that leaks were ruining the album.
"So this is the problem, though, bro, is when we do put leaks and stuff that you guys request, it's going to be a whole nother part of the community.
However, this would just make fans hate Bibby and the rest of the management even more. For example, Bibby tweeted, "Happiest day of my life," and a fan said, "Happiest ratio of my life." Show you how much they dislike him. And all of this probably has you wondering, why would a management slash label service behave so unprofessionally and be so disorganized? Well, that's because they weren't professional. You see, Juice WRLD's quote unquote label, Grade A, only was founded in order to exploit Juice WRLD. Literally. It didn't exist until they found Juice WRLD and he agreed to sign to them. On top of that, no one in Grade A had any experience running a label prior to Juice WRLD. To make matters worse, they were insanely greedy, taking 50% of his earnings.
Exposed the fact that I remember someone telling me that Juice WRLD's deal with Grade A was 50%.
People are talking about it?
I said in a video, I was like, all right, I don't know if this is true, but a source told me like 3 years ago that Juice WRLD's deal with Grade A was 50%. Like they take 50% of his...
However, it's actually worse than it sounds. Because when you do the math, it's a teeny tiny fraction.
I promise you, Juice WRLD is probably only getting, like his team and mom and shit are probably only getting 20% of his streams, like every other artist. Yeah. Like that's the standard. After recouping, say you get $1 million advance, you have to pay back that million and then you get 20%. Mm-hmm. That's probably what Juice WRLD got of his streams. He's getting 20%.
So Juice WRLD was in a horrible management deal.
Of his show money and his merch money.
50.
Those f***ing are taking 50. That's not a good deal.
That's not a good deal.
That's a horrible f***ing management deal.
In fact, the deal should have been illegal.
If that's true, it's bad.
It's very bad.
Because like the standard for a management to take percentage of shows and merch is like 15 to 25%. 25 is extremely high.
And it was so bad that when Juice WRLD signed his multi-million dollar...
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future. Because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts. So I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Deal, he was practically left with nothing.
Then he got a $3 million deal from Interscope because there was a big bidding war for him. So,
how many years did he sign for? Wait, how?
I don't know the details of that. All I know is Interscope got him for $3 million and then his management contract was 50% of this shit.
But you see, Juice's management and label weren't the only ones tarnishing his legacy. His loved ones, or just loved one, you could even call it that, or her at this point, Ali Lottie has done quite a bit of damage herself by doing nothing but make him look bad. In the beginning, it actually looked like she was about to hold Juice down for life.
I'm trying to uphold a legacy my name is attached to. I would never be on here acting like that or posting OnlyFans or doing anything like, but still trying to acknowledge Jared's legacy and be part of that.
However, it didn't take long for her to completely go back on that. The first time it was evident she did not give one frick about Juice was when she began dating a well-known scammer in hip-hop, who went from managing her, I'm a bit confused as to what there was to manage, to be honest, but okay, to dating her. But that wasn't a crime. Everyone has to move on. Here's what's disrespectful. Ali would begin giving away Juice WRLD's gifts to her, Carter, her new scammer boyfriend. He was also seen in clothes Juice WRLD had worn, and even with a custom bag Juice commissioned for Ali. What's worse, the boyfriend had absolutely no chill, writing things like, just chilling, watching YouTube in Juice WRLD's house, Juice WRLD's home studio. But at that point, as crazy as it sounds, it hadn't gone that bad yet. Because I guess the backlash just made Ali think, I might as well get paid for all this hate, which prompted her to launch her own content. Wink, wink, wink. However, once again, Ali explained that her content would only be for her, to support her, and that she would be upholding Juice WRLD's legacy, writing, also, by the way, I never put anything of Juice or about Juice or with Juice or regarding Juice on my/for my/towards my, who taught this woman how to write, alright, or for you to go to my content ever, you did. So do me a favor and stop, because I'm not with that stuff, it's been 3 years, let him rest, my content is for me and about me. Which sounds great in theory, however, she would completely go back on the statement after probably realizing nobody wanted to buy content of just her, so she decided to include Juice WRLD. How? Well, she would go on to post on her content page about Juice WRLD, talking about a tape her and Juice made, and I'm not talking music. She also used it to sell a bunch of Juice WRLD's old clothes, and even his noose, to raise money after her and her scammer boyfriend I mentioned got arrested for meth possession and shoplifting. But wait, it gets worse. Because after all of that, a video of her calling Juice's music trash surfaced.
And this is why I can't listen to the radio. I need to stop fucking rappers. You have a small day.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Keep in mind, all of his latter songs were about her and how much he loved her, and she was 8 years older than him. So that brings us to today. What do people think of him now? Well, ever since making false promises to fans about Juice's final album, Juice WRLD's management has been dropping a random sad song every 3 months. In late 2022, it was revealed that Juice WRLD's catalog, or 90% of it, was sold to Opus Music Group for $300 million. Yes, $300 million. While Bibby and Grade A maintained control. So they now were in complete control of the music with no incentive to drop anything or anything good because they were no longer making money off of Juice. They had cashed out. Today, they just drop a couple of random emo rap singles every month that no one wants, and the only time Juice WRLD is brought up now is over delays, leaks, or just people hating on what happened to him. His fanbase is starting to get depleted, his monthly listeners have drastically fallen, and his label is starting to destroy his discography. But Juice WRLD had a solid amount of music already out. Unfortunately, this next artist didn't have that same luxury. The next rapper on this list is the one and only Pop Smoke. While he was alive, Pop Smoke brought back interest in New York's rap scene single-handedly by popularizing New York drill. Unfortunately, he accidentally posted his address and was gunned down in an armed robbery at the young age of 20 years old. Once again, this was devastating, but fans were assured that his legacy would remain intact. And at first, the label did a great job of it. His album, Shoot for the Stars, Aim for the Moon, was great. However, it didn't take long for the money to take priority. In June of 2021, Pop Smoke's label and team announced the second posthumous album would be releasing.
On Wednesday, June 23rd, an official trailer for the late rapper's second studio album, set to arrive July 16th, was released.
Why are you trying to just be cool? We gotta make history.
This was 1 year after the success of Pop Smoke's successful posthumous album, so no one really thought much of it. At first, fans thought it was going to be 16 solo songs. However, that wasn't even close to what it was. The album was a 20-track album with 6 Pop Smoke solo songs, 1 is an interlude, and the rest all have features.
And this new Pop Smoke album is like 20% Pop Smoke and 80% features. I want to hear Pop Smoke on his own album, not a bunch of other artists.
What's worse, Pop Smoke was the minority, small minority in a lot of these tracks. So he was essentially a feature on his own album. But the worst part was that Pop Smoke didn't even like collaborating with other rappers in the industry, and he made that very clear.
Same for Lil TJ?
Nah, Lil TJ, my nigga.
Oh yeah?
I don't fuck with nigga. If you notice why I don't do songs with nigga, tape ain't have nobody on it, cause I don't fuck with nigga. I don't like nigga. I don't wanna like nigga. I'm not into them. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know, cause nigga be envious.
So the label had gone against his wishes for money, but it still got worse. Furthermore, the album was just clearly scraped together in a very sloppy manner. For example, Pusha T's verse on the song with Kanye mentioned a Tyler, the Creator album that dropped 2 weeks prior.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
To Pop Smoke's album dropping, further confirming fan suspicions. On top of that, there were horrid features: Chris Brown, Dua Lipa, Kid Cudi, artists that Pop Smoke would not have featured with, except maybe Dua Lipa. It was clearly a money grab, but the reaction to the album dropping was even worse for his legacy. Many of Pop Smoke's closest friends came out and spoke out about him. For example, Mike D, one of Pop Smoke's best friends, explained he had no involvement or idea that the album was dropping, writing, "For anybody saying, why did I let anybody drop this or that, I had no involvement in my dog's album, didn't even know an album was dropping until it got broadcasted on this internet shit. I'm upset at myself because I know he wouldn't have even wanted it like this. It was so bad that Pop Smoke's main producer, 808 Mello, had to speak out and explain why he wasn't involved in the album, writing, "Don't complain to me about the album. I had no involvement in it, and you guys know that."
The producer, 808 Mello, had no part in this album. That's Pop Smoke's main producer. You don't put him on the album. It makes no sense. What the f***? What do you guys think of?
He even had to issue an apology, saying, "Sorry, bro, I miss you." One fan said, "I smell cap," and Mello quickly corrected it and said, "I solo produced the song, but they changed the drums and put a feature on it," confirming that the label had altered the way the music was meant to be put out. Another one of Pop Smoke's good friends, Rowdy Rebel, spoke out and wrote, "SMH, I don't understand. My boy not on this track. Ayo, Eli Frost, don't trip, bro. You know how these industry guys is. Straight suckers." Wait, what? What's that about? Well, they also altered a song called Manslaughter, putting Rick Ross on it, and fans were furious. So mad that the label owner of Pop Smoke's label, Victor Victor, had to speak out, writing, "Y'all need to chill. The original Top Shotta beat wasn't clearable. Could not find the artist's estate. Working on multiple deluxes. Let us know what you want to hear." And they had to make multiple posts on social media to try and calm fans down.
What's up, everybody? I want to talk to y'all about the situation with the Pop Smoke Top Shotta track featuring Eli Frost that I know everybody was expecting for that to be on the album. Unfortunately, that didn't make the cut. It was supposed to make the cut, but, you know, things always end up happening in the industry, you know, when it comes to the business side.
But they weren't tricking anyone. You see, there's no issue with tracks not being able to get cleared. That's a common occurrence. But what Pop's label had done was remove the original artists and replace them with more pop mainstream names like Rick Ross, Pusha T, and Dua Lipa. And fans saw right through this all, calling the album mid and blatantly calling the label out for being greedy.
Why is this a rushed product? For what reason?
Yeah, this
you guys are selling 25,000 every single week on the first album. You guys are making a ton of money. It's like, you seen that Mr. Krabs meme? I watched that episode where he digs up the number one guy just to get his hat to sell it.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
For money. So, yeah, he digged up a dead body in the Mr. Krabs SpongeBob episode. He digs up a dead body just to get the hat to sell it for money. And the guy that tweeted is like, "This is exactly what happened with Pop Smoke's album. Is they dig up a corpse. They dig up his corpse just to get as much money. Like, let's see if we can sell something out of his dead body right now."
Because it just didn't make sense. How would they do this? In fact, Anthony Fantano described it best, saying,
"Know that you're going to hear, like, some weird stuff that doesn't go over too well. I think there's a lot of stuff here that's pretty clear that Pop Smoke would have done something to it or just not have put it out had he still been around. And I think that's true just by virtue of the fact that the quality level on some of these tracks isn't even up to snuff to, again, the last posthumous LP. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not too crazy about this one, and I'm feeling a strong 3 to a light 4.
And however, Pop Smoke's family came out and disagreed with everyone, not just Pop's friends, but also the public, saying that they were actually happy with the album because they were just trying to get paid. And Pop's brother specifically told everyone to humble themselves.
"So before y'all tell me what my brother would allow, y'all need to really check yourselves."
And that all of the people who were calling out his family were the same ones who did Pop dirty or were fake or were just never around for them.
"Some of y'all is allowing other people who steal his sound, who did not give the family money after they took off Wu apparel, clothing, and
it was you. I know niggas put him in predicaments and put him in certain positions who took clothes and I know niggas, you feel me? I know niggas. I know niggas that did him dirty. I know niggas that crashed his car. You feel me? I know niggas, bro. I know niggas say they loved him, but still doing dirty."
The Pop Smoke's family clearly prioritized money over Pop's legacy. However, this next artist's family was a bit different. The final rapper on this list is the emo rock star Lil Peep. After Lil Peep passed in 2017, the blame was quickly placed on those around him, his friends, for being a bad influence and enabling his bad habits, and for a while, to the public, that seemed fair. But as the years passed by, new details began to surface, and the truth would unravel itself. At first, his legacy was mostly intact, only a couple commercialized releases, but mostly just respect by his estate. However, his ties to his management company while he was alive would shine a bad light on not only the true details of his life, but what was done to him. It turned out, the story of how he left, which was shielded to the public as a story of a rapper unable to control his demons, turned out to be a much darker story of an artist being taken advantage of. And this would forever change how many fans, or most fans, would look at Lil Peep. But before we get into what was made public after his passing, how did he manage to get into this predicament in the first place? Back in 2016, Lil Peep was a buzzing SoundCloud rapper and was playing a show. In the crowd was a man named Chase Ortega. Stunned by Lil Peep's performance, he approached Peep and asked if he had a manager. Peep said no and told him,
Lo sabe que a todos nos gusta ahorrar, especialmente en esta temporada. Por eso escogimos deals buenísimos para Early Black Friday. Obtén gratis una herramienta selecta de Walt, Cobalt o Craftsman al comprar una batería o un kit selecto. También tenemos árboles de Navidad preiluminados selectos desde $59.98, porque nunca es muy pronto para poner el arbolito. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Hasta agotar existencia, selección varía por lugar.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals, you're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
He would just get by however he could, and admitted he was basically homeless. At the time, Peep was living in Skid Row, self-releasing his music on SoundCloud. Shortly after, Peep's music would be shown to the CEO of First Access Entertainment, Sarah Stennett, a longtime manager to acts such as Iggy Azalea and Zayn Malik, and a big name in the music industry. And from the moment Stennett first heard his music, she was obsessed. Eventually, she'd get in touch with Peep and they had a meeting. She asked him if he wanted to play stadiums, and if he wanted to become a global superstar. He responded with yes, and she told him she could help him with that. So in the middle of 2016, Lil Peep signed to First Access Entertainment, a deal that would change his life forever. At first, things were alright. First Access helped Peep with releasing his music to all platforms, selling merch, and most importantly, tours. Maybe not stadiums yet, but tours in Europe, Russia, and the entire country. But once Peep started seeing success and was able to make a substantial amount of money, First Access' focus shifted entirely to how much they could profit off of Peep, and took a series of measures to ensure this. For one, they didn't want him to be in Los Angeles with his friends or peers, who they saw as a distraction, an obstacle in their way of profiting off of Lil Peep. So after Peep finished his first tour, First Access and his manager pushed Peep to move to London so that he could live a quieter life and maybe even get sober. Peep grudgingly agreed. And just like he thought, he didn't like it. While he was in London, he was even unhappier than he was in LA. And to him, a lot of the blame was on First Access. During his stay, he texted his manager at the time, I'm not enjoying life. I don't want to be Lil Peep G. I'd rather work at Starbucks. I just feel like I should be doing everything that First Access is trying to do for me because they don't have shit on me and they should be paying me to do their job. According to Peep's close friends, he was so unhappy with First Access, he was even thinking of firing them altogether. Just 3 days after he expressed his discontent with his new location to his manager, he was struggling with a panic attack, and instead of comforting him, his manager told him a member of First Access would be bringing him Xanax. Later on, his manager denied the claims in court. And while Peep was in London, First Access sent him on one last tour. On October 2nd, 2017, Lil Peep would embark on the last tour of his life. And right from the jump, things would go wrong. He and his manager, Chase Ortega, the man he first met at that show, stopped all communication, and they used the new tour manager from First Access as a middleman. Even worse, the van he had used for his last tour was replaced with a grimy, cramped tour bus. The touring became miserable for Peep. He was forced to sleep at weird hours and had nothing better to do but take substances and play video games, which to someone like Peep with depression didn't help. On top of that, the new tour manager hired by First Access, Belinda Mercer, who was supposed to be a reasonable person, turned out to be the opposite. Mercer was a fangirl obsessed with getting Peep's approval, attention, and used her role to control and manipulate him. The tour bus was flowing with substances more than ever, and things were getting dangerous. Mercer knew exactly what substances Peep loved and what got him the most high, and Peep would be in a coma-like state 24/7, according to those around him. In fact, Mercer's nickname by the supporting artists of the tour was the Pimp, because she would supply everyone with their substance of choice to control.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
MacNed, one of Lil Peep's best friends, said, "Belinda, she's kind of a pimp. She kept us in line with drugs. We were like her hoe. And since she was a fan, she even managed to have a relationship with Peep under the covers, if you know what I mean. Essentially, she was more of a dealer than a tour manager. And it only got worse. On October 25th, 21 days before Peep's passing, his tour was almost jeopardized because of Belinda Mercer. While they were crossing the Canadian border, everyone in the bus was told by Border Patrol they had to leave the bus. Mercer was apprehended and interrogated, and they had to wait 7 hours to cross the border. In the end, Mercer was held back even longer, and they had to go on without her. Yep, you heard me. They had to leave the manager of the tour behind because she got caught with illegal substances. Mercer would rejoin the tour the next night. Years later, in a deposition, Mercer admitted that the authorities had found illegal substances on her, but they were the tour's, not hers, implying that the substances were Peep's. However, Peep's mother came with receipts, and when Mercer was confronted with text messages in which she allegedly asked Peep how many blue, referring to a type of substance, Mercer pled the fifth. And of course, later on in court, First Access claims they gave Mercer a stern talk for giving substances out. However, the CEO of First Access, Sarah, had engaged in activities similar to what Mercer had been doing. You see, unlike what First Access claimed in court, Sarah Stennett, the CEO, was on board with all of this, according to Peep's mom and those around him. She, quote, fostered, promoted, and encouraged used to maintain control over Lil Peep and his tours. For example, on a tour stop in London, Peep and Stennett had dinner, and he was given a bag of substances by Stennett as a gift. However, later, through a lawyer, Stennett denied that she had ever given Lil Peep any substances, and that she was merely trying to comfort him by offering substances that she had no intention of delivering. But once again, Peep's mother had receipts, and in court, Peep's mom showed text messages in which she contacted him about drugs, writing, "I'm about to land at JFK. I have 1 2-milligram and 4 quarters, referring to two different doses of substances she had for Peep. 11 days after the border incident, Peep met with one of his rapper friends, Fat Nick, who hooked him up with a ton of substances for his birthday. Once again, First Access didn't try to limit Peep's use. Instead, they signed Fat Nick. At this point, and even at certain points prior, Peep wanted to quit the tour, but his managers ignored the pleas and pushed him onto the tour city after city, plying and propping him up on all sorts of substances. Sometimes, he'd show up to a show, a complete mess, stammering, vomiting, and look like he was about to pass out. But as you can see, continued to perform. And things only got worse. Peep's final show was a nightmare. First Access had failed to get him a proper venue, which he vented about to his mom on FaceTime, and it was the last time they would ever speak. In fact, in his final show in El Paso, Texas, his manager, Belinda Mercer, encouraged him to take an excessive amount of a certain substance so he could cancel the show and collect insurance money for being sick. It was so normalized at this point that people didn't even care. His friend even took a video in case something went wrong, worried for him. In the end, the promoters got mad and Mercer made Peep post the video to social media, showing he was fine, and then perform. People
here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
He was already depressed and going through mental issues, so forcing him to tour and take drugs wasn't going to end well. And it didn't. Eventually, the lack of concern for Peep's health led to his demise. And on November 15th, 2017, Lil Peep was found on his tour bus deceased, all alone in a corner in the back. Earlier that day, he was hanging out with some fans before the show, and there was enough evidence on the tour bus to say he died from substances on that bus. Years later, it was revealed that the night before, Mercer begged the local tour staff for heavy drugs. When he was found unresponsive, attempts were made to revive Peep, but he wouldn't come alive. How did he end up like that? At 3 p.m. that day, he was in Tucson, Arizona, chilling with friends from his group, and almost an hour later, he started acting funny. His friends moved him to a couch and tried to keep talking with him, but Peep kept passing out, and after being kicked and shaken, he wouldn't wake up. They thought he was just in a really, really, really deep sleep because he was snoring, but this was actually him ODing. Others on the bus were told about this, but in the environment the management created, this was normal, so no one did anything. In fact, Mercer had seen Peep at 5:30 and couldn't wake him up. but decided not to call the police or an ambulance and instead decided to run a personal errand. It wasn't until 3 hours later when they realized he was frozen, his skin was pale, his lips blue, and that he had no pulse that an ambulance was called. But it was too late to save him. He was pronounced dead on the scene. His management, as well as those on the bus, had watched him slowly pass away in front of their eyes. Immediately after, the manager who Peep had fallen out with on tour tweeted, "Been waiting for this call for a year," explaining he didn't even expect Peep to last this long. Following his death, Peep was mourned by friends and family. His best friend took to Instagram live crying, and there was an outpour of support coming from his fans and other musicians. Post Malone spoke about him.
More than what, like, a genuine, good, real, true person that he was, his music was gonna change, like, the culture of everything. Like, already shifting culture in such a short, like, period of time that, you know, he was, you know, like, kind of on, I guess. And but he's just an incredible, talented dude and good guy.
XXXTentacion mourned him, and even artists like Juice WRLD. And Peep's music briefly surged in popularity with the single Awful Things entering the Billboard 100. But here's where we get to his legacy. Because the thing is, practically none of these details I just shared with you were available to the public at the time of his passing. So rumors about Peep's passing began circulating, and First Access knew this. So they had to quickly find a way to cover up their negligence to the public as well as his family. How'd they do this? Well, First Access decided that Lil Peep's friends, the ones they had tried to move him across the world from, were responsible and swiftly crafted a narrative that Peep had passed due to bad influences around him. But you see, some of those friends were on tour with him, and those close to him knew the truth. Lil Tracy, Lil Peep's best friend, said, in a very ominous way,
"Was it like, how are you like taking it now, you know, that, you know, like Peep's, you know, passing?"
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm not taking it good.
Oh, me. Word. I was seeing like some stuff on like social media.
Yeah. I'm willing to die for what my friend died for. You might not even know what that means, but I know what that means.
Shortly after Peep passed, he signed a deal through First Access to star in a movie. And after Peep passed, First Access decided to go through with it, but with a twist. They'd produce a documentary on Peep's life. It was quite a moving and emotional watch, except everything surrounding Peep's death was extremely biased, because First Access had financed the documentary. Sarah Stennett was listed as a producer herself, and 100% of the blame was placed on Peep's friends. And frankly, it worked. For a couple of years, they tricked everyone, including his mother. Peep's mother was not happy with his friends, publicly calling them out for multiple things, like saying they had stolen his clothes and more. But a couple of years later, after Peep passed, his mother had done her own homework and found out who was really responsible for Peep's passing, which led her to none other than First Access. So in October of 2019, Liza Womack, Lil Peep's mother, filed a 372-page lawsuit against First Access Entertainment in Los Angeles Superior Court, claiming wrongful death, negligence, and a breach of contract for unspecified damages. The defendants were Peep's manager, Brian Ortega, and his tour manager, Belinda Mercer. And the suit laid out some mind-blowing details I spoke about a bit earlier that were hidden from the public until then. Furthermore, Peep's mother also filed a lawsuit claiming First Access owed her $4 million that was owed to Lil Peep and pleaded to the court she needed court intervention as soon as possible for her son's legacy, as her working relationship with Peep's label was dysfunctional due to it. To show you how dysfunctional, Smoke a Sack, Lil Peep's main producer, and one of his best friends honored Sarah Stennett on National Women's Day, stating, "Today is National Women's Day. I can't say how much I appreciate this particular woman, my mentor, who's also the godmother to my daughter," and posted a picture of him and Sarah Stennett, the woman Peep's mother was suing for her part in Peep's death. The whole time, Peep's mom was working tirelessly to release his music to all platforms, which involved clearing samples and other business dealings, something she had no experience in. Following Peep's mother's suit, First Access countersued, claiming that Peep's mother selling merch was a breach of contract and tried to get the charges dropped. However, the judge sided with Peep's mother and approved every core accusation and set a date for the jury and trial. However, despite the trail of evidence, First Access was a legitimate company and the lawsuit wasn't going to be an easy win. Peep's mom's biggest hurdle was trying to get over the duty questions, which meant, did First Access Entertainment have a duty to prevent Lil Peep from obtaining or accessing substances? And it was possible because a court could reasonably decide that by providing a person with an addiction with prescription medication and illegal substances, they endangered his life, and that brought responsibility upon themselves. According to another legal expert, if it was proved in court, it could have legal ramifications much worse than millions of dollars. There could be criminal charges for everyone involved. The lawsuits show that they were facilitating substances or bootleg substances without prescription. In fact, the same legal expert said Lil Peep's case was very similar to Michael Jackson's passing and famous lawsuit, except his management had hired a doctor. Peep's management was much dirtier. They were handing him substances under the table, which would likely influence a jury to find them responsible and guilty for Peep's passing. Following the lawsuit, First Access denounced the suit, saying, "The claim that First Access Entertainment, any of its employees, was somehow responsible for, complicit in, or contributed to Peep's passing is categorically untrue." They also said, "Peep's mother's lawsuit was groundless and offensive, and entirely baseless, misguided, and without merit," and even said it was 100% Peep's fault, saying, "It is extremely disappointing that Peep's mother would file this meritless lawsuit, since she is well aware of the numerous efforts made by First Access and Chase Ortega to steer her son away from his concerning lifestyle choices. Unfortunately, in spite of our best efforts, he was an adult who made his own decisions and opted to follow a different, more destructive path." In fact, Stennett even said that Peep's passing made her realize how important the work she was doing was because she was saving lives. In an interview, she said, "It restored my faith in a higher power," adding that her and Peep's relationship made me understand there's a purpose to what I'm doing. It's not just music, it's a much bigger responsibility. However, the judge saw right through First Access's lies and disagreed, saying, "There's no question there's a tribal issue as to whether Mercer provided the substances or not. If you're going to create an environment like that where substances are flowing, and hey, you don't have an actual life-saving device or any Narcan to help people who are going to have a problem with these substances, it seems to me you're creating a very dangerous situation here." And supported Peep's mother. I'm not saying that's what happened, but that's what Womack, Peep's mother, alleges. The fact that the defendants didn't give decent, adequate protection for that environment, I think that could add up to causation there. So despite First Access Entertainment's attempts to get the case dismissed, Peep's mom wouldn't budge and said, "I want justice for Gus. That's why I'm doing this. Whatever form it takes, what I'm looking for is for people to be held accountable for their behavior." And it was something she had to do as a mother, and so that other young artists couldn't be exploited. "This is something I must do as a mother. I feel very concerned that they not be exploited. What Gus had to live through is actually horrifying to me. And I'm not sure he's the only person his age in the situation." In 2021, a fan on Reddit comments, "Damn, this is nerve-wracking to watch. Can't imagine what it must be like for Liza." And they were right. Because that same year, Peep's mom did an interview where she revealed she'd almost passed twice during the lawsuit. "I've had two strokes, and I'm not gonna until I take care of this matter. I'm going to live. I have a mission." And after 4 years, on February 14th, 2023, Lil Peep's mother and him settled his wrongful death lawsuit outside of court, and it never made it. And part of the deal were that the terms of the settlement were to be undisclosed. But on Instagram, they announced, "Great news for Lil Peep fans, his music will now be in the care of only his mother and brother and no one else." Today, Gus's music came home. From this day forward, his music will be in the care of his mother, brother, and no one else. It is a solemn moment for us as we reflect on the struggles of the past 5+ years. We are grateful to all of the fans, friends, professionals, and family who stood by us. We are all permanently changed by Gus's passing. We know he should be here in the world with all of us, creating, making, whatever he was supposed to make, but he is not. So we will protect his music with all of our strength. This is a very important day for us. So the lawsuit had been settled for an unknown amount of money, probably millions, and First Access returned all of Peep's music to his family. And the event definitely gave his family and loved ones some closure. However, many fans were disappointed, as although there would be a lot more releases of Lil Peep's music, and First Access Entertainment could no longer make money off of him, no one was personally held responsible for the neglect that clearly occurred on the tour, and it never ended up being the precedent-setting case his mom originally wanted it to be, making change for upcoming artists in the industry.